That's what happened. And a part of this, somewhere in there, was the need for the design to be completed and permitted. And so at some point, HDR was hired for more work to continue the project or finish the project. Well, finish the project is now a contested term. But yeah, that's what I know from the outside. I'm not really even on the outside. From the inside or from the sideline looking at this project going from beginning to end, that's what I saw happen. And there's some frustration on our part. Carrie's involved. Some of you might have some memories about that too. But 14 years have gone by since Richland's facility burned. And for 14 years, we've been wanting, needing, and are so close. Yeah.
And it would have been so much cheaper 14 years ago.
There's
there's a lot of things, you know, after reading a book, you know, David Nightingale's book, if you guys haven't read that, it's a great book to read. I mean, these things, it says right at the beginning of the book, 2 to 5 years, just get ready. It's cheaper to build a new one. Don't do a retrofit. I mean, stuff like that. It's just, that book's full of lessons learned, you know, and if somebody would have taken the time to just do a little research, they would have known.
Michelle, I see that you're online. Can I just ask you, does Ecology have a list of people, consultants that are qualified to do this work that have met a certain set of criteria?
No, they do not. And as I've been kind of listening to you guys speak, I've been trying to figure out like who would be the person to have you speak with. We do have a new MRW coordinator who I think would be a great start just because he's very knowledgeable, very interested, and willing to help. And I think that could be something he could start look keeping an eye out for. We also have facilities specialists. And so their job is to go to facilities and do inspections and stuff, but I don't know that they get involved that early on. And that might also be part of the issue is not having a facility specialist involved from the get-go. The other side of it is also at the county level. So you have your health departments that are charged with enforcing and permitting. And so it does actually come down to your health department to be a part of that in the early stages and say, hey, this isn't going to meet the guidelines. But the guidelines are so hard. Like, there's not just a strict, like, here's the document tells you what you need. You got to go through hundreds of WAC and RCWs. And so it can be very confusing, which is why people go to consultants. But obviously, there is some lack of knowledge within the consultants as well. So that is concerning. So I'm going to reach out to a few of my team members and see who I can compile for you guys. And I'll reach back out to you to give you some names on. Because even though it can't do anything for you now, I think the issue is that there are still other facilities that will be built, right? And what if you need an upgrade and like you don't want to have to go through this again?
Well, I also think since we're meeting Ecology, RCW, not Ecology, we're meeting RCWs, we're meeting health department regulations. But so, for instance, the city of Pasco, a long time ago, because we got burned by a couple of contractors, we developed a list of criteria. And if you couldn't meet every one of those criteria, you could not bid on a project. And it seems to me that if we're trying to do what the state of Washington is requiring us to do, Ecology could serve a function as our what?
Backstop
Our
a bit.
backstop, or just our go-to. Who are the consultants that have done this successfully? Who or and you don't have to, who's met the criteria? Who has the expertise? So that when we put out RFPs, we can at least say, well, these guys did it and they met the RFP. You've applied for this. Have you met any of these criteria?
Yeah, and I mean it's hard because, right? I mean, kind of like what was already said, you know, we can't put our necks out and say, hey, these guys are qualified or these guys are not. That would be biased. However, these companies do have insurance. And so if you can tie it down to, hey, this consultant guided us in this way and it was inaccurate, you know, you could go to your prosecuting attorney and see if that's something they'd be willing to help fight.
I'm not saying that you'd make recommendations. I'm saying you'd have a series of criteria that a qualified consultant should have, and then just have a list of people who have met. Just like when I was teaching, I couldn't teach unless I had these different criteria on my certificate. I couldn't even apply for the job. And so it seems like you could provide that same list of criteria. So if I want to hire consultant X, I can say, oh, ecology says these are the criteria you need. Do you have these certificates? Can you do it? And
yeah,
if they don't,
I mean, it comes down to just engineering, I think. There's not like that strict of requirements on the consultant side. The restrictions come down to the facility itself.
Typically,
I hear you.
It would be great to have a resource where if someone decided they wanted to do an MRW facility, like you said, if this staff member that's at Ecology could say, yeah, here's some skill sets and abilities that if you're going to go for an RFP, you're going to look at three or four different consultants. Here's some skill sets that they probably should have. You should be asking them to demonstrate that they have experience in the following areas. That would be helpful.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't be naming or keeping a list. Now, the consultant lists that are on the state site, MRCES, MSR.
MRSC.
MRSC. Yeah, they'll have clusters. You can select different general groups of
right.
skill sets. But then when you put your RFP out, if we had some kind of a base list, that'd be good. If this particular point of contact at the ecology said, hey, here are the last three projects in the last 2 years, then we could do some networking and share information when we do our RFP. That would have
okay. Yeah, noted. I will definitely pass that along to Ethan, who is our MRW coordinator now, and he'll be one of the ones I get you in contact with as well.
Kennewick built, not to get off track, Kennewick built an MR, decant facility, and all the Eastern Washington stormwater managers were trying to figure out how do you build one, and we basically just called around and talked to each other a lot about it. But that would have been one of those scenarios where if a group of people would have said, hey, here's the last five projects, Ecology had to approve all these facilities. If there was someone that said, yeah, I've looked at all of those, here's some references, some people you can contact.
Like an Angie's List for MRWs.
Yeah. Something like that. So, thank you, Michelle.
Yeah, very welcome.
Okay. Are we done with MRW facilities?
I hope so.
Sorry I walked in late. So targeted time to open.
I would say if every, like I said, I'm not going to jinx it. If everything goes right today, I'm going to say very months, like weeks, months.
Okay.
Not very long.
Okay.
It's right
after now. Christmas, before next Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Way before next Christmas. Because yeah. Honestly, we're right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. I bring that up, the timing. We have a long list of activities in our new comprehensive plan that we can pick from to start working on as a SWAC, which is exciting. Education outreach. I think it would be very smart of us to time what we're telling the public
sure.
with respect to when that facility comes online. We all want hazardous waste out of the garbage, and we now or soon.
Right.
I think that's part of it. No, that's still plastic.
It's sort of wood.
It's a mix of wood. I think it'd be smart for us to choose.
Yeah.
And if we start figuring out what the message is going to be today, we'll actually have it ready in a month or 2 months or 3 months or something and can start on the city web pages, on the county web pages when we mm-hmm. do a Facebook post. Waste management and basin disposal, you guys are, yeah, we can all have, what is the Woodsy the Owl looking thing that goes out that everybody can say, oh yeah, new MRW, here's the two or three word catchphrase and here's the three sentence description that says this is what happens there, this is what not, this is what does not happen there. You know, small quantity generators, other people that are interested, here's the link.
Right.
So I mean, they evidently at the last MRW event they had it put down early because somebody brought
nuclear stuff.
It
was awesome.
That's problematic.
So aside from how in the heck does somebody have nuclear stuff in their garbage, what should we have redirected that person as part of that what we accept
yep.
and stuff we don't accept? Where do you take that?
So we were talking about a similar topic this morning. It's like, what does incident response look like? What does emergency management look like? What are the, in the military, it's battle drills, but for us, it's emergency response drills or something. We all have them internally in our organizations, and this is one that we should we should together say, what are the top three or four waste things that worry us the most? It's a biological thing, it's a nuclear thing, it's a chemical thing of these highly toxic, whatever. What happens?
Right.
Obviously, you don't go and pick it up and try and take it to a good place.
Right.
But who are the first two or three phone calls? What do you do? And then who do you call?
I got a guy's number that ended up showing up.
Yeah.
That was a situation. Maybe we can talk about.
Yeah. For example, yeah. if you get the call or we get the call or somebody else gets the call, we should at least know kind of countywide or whoever's involved countywide.
Who's the main person?
Yeah. Who do you call first and what do you do? If it's in the city of Kennewick, right. then obviously Richland probably doesn't need to know, but it's emergency response people at the city of Kennewick, and it's a cleanup and testing person, whatever to categorize it and dispose of it. And that stuff should be pretty straightforward for us to come up with.
It should be.
And then it can be put in our individual emergency yes. response things, and
I agree.
We could train ourselves and yeah. it'll be put on websites and whatever.
Yeah.
But arguably, even though it shut down your event mm-hmm. and it was not the right venue, at least they brought it in.
Yeah.
Versus.
So that yeah. when you were asking that question, that's what I was going to say. It's better for them to leave it with us.
Yeah.
But hopefully they're honest about it and don't hide it like they did this time. But it's better to leave it with us because yeah. if it's got to stop somewhere. Because if yeah. you don't take it, they're just going to take it home, dump it out. So.
Mm. Or bury it in somebody's back yeah. 40 and then.
And we do have numbers to call to get rid of it. I mean, it's going to cost money, but what do you want? I mean, you want people to get sick and die or just pay a few bucks and get rid of it?
Yeah.
You know, so. And we got the fire department right next door, so. Yes, those guys. Hey, come over here. That's something weird. So.
Yeah, and if you know who our emergency response people are, and for us, yeah. it's usually our fire marshal or our fire department is doing incident command stuff. Mm-hmm.
We need to have a talk afterwards. Yeah. This little
yep.
little powwow.
Yep.
So we as the SWAC don't really have the power to direct your staff, but mm-hmm. but who is in charge now of directing or creating these messages?
As far as like
for the open MRW, what's acceptable?
I'm not actually sure who's gonna be doing all that. We got a new PR person. I don't know if we got a new PR person. Did you hear? Because our PR person quit right before the event.
Oh, that's bad.
So that was awesome. So, you know, I have to find out if we have a new PR person yet. But usually the PR person will get some information and they'll put something up and then we'll say, yeah, that looks good. Doesn't look good. No, we're going.
The form that I've been working on that I emailed you at the end of the database that talks about all the things, there is a list of all the people that I contacted from Kennewick and Benton City and all that and who you send it to. So you look at the end of that and then this form could be the beginning part of it, but just add on to that and keep sending to these people who said they would put it in their city newsletters.
Okay.
So.
Gotcha.
And we can also add a line to our bill, but we only bill every other month. So let's say it's 3 months out, then we would really need a message within the next few weeks right. in order to have it ready for
you guys are on plenty of time. I'm just like this.
Okay. We go quarterly. Oh, wow. So you're even farther up than we are. Unless it's commercial, then it's month. Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, I think most of the cities, we can do all our billings, you know. I'll talk to the city manager and you know, I think we can get the message out there. We just have to identify what is the message.
Well, yeah, I think if we could just start the communication, developing the communication mm-hmm. of what it's going to look like, and just leave the dates out.
Right.
But I mean, and when you have a date firm, plug it in.
Yeah.
You know, what days are you open? What hours are you open? Mm-hmm. What can you take? What should you do with stuff that we don't want to bring?
No, it's going to all go in a truck. That's a fact.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we can leave that with you, the communications, sussing out who's going to do that.
I'm pretty sure. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think in the long run, it's all going to fall on me anyway. So, you know.
Nothing else to do, right?
Yeah. No, it's all good.
Okay. I'm just putting it down. Leave it with Chris. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, so education on e-batteries, that was next. And then 2301, so who's talking about e-batteries? Is that you again, Chris?
I mean, you probably better talk about e-batteries than I am.
I left my notes on my desk. There was a hour-long meeting put on by the Washington State Recycling, I think. Is Michelle still on there? I don't know who sponsored.
Yep.
Were you part of the e-battery?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on WSRA board. I didn't run that event, but it was just held. Yeah, the Scary Batteries.
Yeah, Scary Batteries on Halloween or the day before, I don't remember. But what I got is things are coming as ways to recycle or dispose, but there aren't that many options available right now. And there's legislation, certain things have to happen, but it's 2027, 2029. So Michelle, the call to batteries, I was aware of
call
that.
To recycle.
Call to recycle. There were a couple of companies, at least one company that was on there. They provide service elsewhere in the United States.
Yeah, so call to recycle is technically considered the current battery EPR.
Okay.
It is not a great EPR. It is very minimal. There is quite a bit of cost still behind it. However, it is the current EPR program. So if the MRW facility chooses not to use call to recycle, they then have to prove, if you're asking for financial reimbursement through the LCFA grant, you would have to prove that the cost is similar or less going through a different company than going through call to recycle, because that is kind of the current status quo of EPR. So there was another company. I don't know how their rates compare, but I believe they're actually out of British Columbia, or it could have been Northern Washington, but they do stuff in our area. So, I mean, it's possible to use them, but I don't know what those prices look like.
What is your process for making people that aren't great your EPR and changing them?
Yeah, so that one's an old program. So it's not even done like through Washington State. It's more of a nationwide one, which is kind of interesting. So we have no say and no ability to control that, which is why there's now kind of this push for EPR, because Washington State is very heavy into pushing electric and batteries, and so now we're kind of chasing the wheel again, right, to try to figure out, well, how do we have EPR programs to have somewhere for these materials to go and someone to pay for them. So it's behind the curve. We're still quite a few years out, but there is progress being made.
Okay, thanks. Any other questions about e-batteries or comments?
I would like to add something about batteries in general to the thing, but I thought I was going to buy another box and take it to the city office and encourage all the other cities to do that too, because at least if you say, if the city sends out a notice that says, here's how you can recycle and here's why you can recycle, batteries, you can bring them into the city office and drop them off. I know you won't get all of them, but at least people will know, don't put them in the garbage. Anyway, I don't know if we can do that, but that was my hope.
The only problem with that is then you'll get people, they're not going to just drop off their A batteries and C batteries. They're going to come and drop off these E batteries and car batteries, and they're just going to leave it on the side. So it can be a little tricky with like drop off boxes, like any type of recycling goes. Drop off boxes can get
high. I understand that Target takes those bigger rechargeable batteries. And of course, most people know you can take your car battery to a place where you got the battery from. So
yeah,
that information should be part of it.
Part of the communication.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You could check with office stores too. Some office stores might still take batteries back.
I think Battery Plus is still taking them, but they charge a little bit.
Yeah,
that's what I heard.
And then depending on that, if you have an e-bike, some stores that sell the bikes will take those batteries back, but not all brands.
Okay.
So that's weird. Doing some research on, well, they want to, you know, depending on the brand, they'll take that brand back. But if you have some other brand, they don't want that one. Right. So it's something to do with their manufacturing chain.
Yeah. Well, so complicated.
Well, and that's the challenge with this kind of group, or the county keeping track of who does what. So on a completely different topic, you know, we try to be the good, responsible group and put, hey, go to X, Y, and Z store and drop off your plastic bags. Well, a lot of those stores stopped taking them. They didn't notify us. They blamed us, but they didn't notify us. So then you're going having to go back and undo all of your websites that say take the stuff there. So you're trying to be good and responsible and help the public, and then find out they stopped and the public gets upset. So it's a little hard when you don't control what's helping it happening elsewhere, but you're promoting what they're doing and then it stops. So that's my cautionary thing on the batteries. Lots of places are not taking plastic bags, by the way.
Mm-hmm. There is a statewide site that's hosted through Ecology's webpage. I don't know who actually runs it, but 1-800-recycle.com. But it's similar to having those same issues. You know, we don't necessarily get notified when new ones come on board or when one stops accepting certain materials, but it is an overall database. So maybe you could take a look at that and see how accurate that looks for your area. And it could be a resource that you could utilize.
Okay. Anything else on batteries? Okay, 2301. Is that you, Michelle?
Oh, no, thank you.
Oh, okay.
Really close to 11. So I have interviews going on.
Okay. So speed it up. I guess I just had a question about 2301. It says that it's non-elective organic recycling by 2030. It's elective in 2027 for anybody who asks. We don't have a facility here locally to take it to. We're looking at, do we take it to Spokane? But now Pasco has Japanese beetles, so some of our areas are going to be quarantined. So what is Ecology going to slip? Are those, I mean, I'm having people in contracts say, keep the green waste out. And I'm going, this is Washington state law. We can't take it out. So
yeah, so 2301 is difficult. Yes. So in 2027, you have to provide a selective service. It has to be an option, and only certain cities are falling under that. And at this moment, I can't remember if it was Richland or Kennewick. It's only one of them, I believe, was qualifying. And I can pull that up, but it'll take me a minute.
Richland already has a organics as a part of their garbage collection service. It's residential.
But it has to include food waste. That's the biggest part of the bill, is that it has to include food waste.
I'm not familiar with anybody here that does that in the Tri-Cities.
They don't have to, but they don't have to have provided the service in the past, but based on population, you may now be required to offer it.
Pasco's required.
So they're telling Pasco they have to add food waste to their compost facility, even though they're probably not permitted.
And then in 2030, it's mandated to be required. Whether they want it or not, they have to be required. There's a lot of issues we're seeing with that, especially around areas that don't require garbage service. If you don't require garbage service and then you require organics collection, you are going to end up with a lot of garbage in your organics, and that's not the goal. So there are going to be changes that come out, but as you know, that takes time. In the meantime, there will be an exemption request, and it will be a 5-year renewable exemption. And that's still in the process. I don't know what that looks like, but it sounds like, especially for Central and Eastern, most likely any exemptions that are put through will be eligible. I mean, if you're already doing it, then, you know, they're going to say no, you just need to offer it. But if you don't even offer the food waste yet, there's most likely going to be an exemption to kind of prolong that process so that facilities can get put in place.
When is that coming, Michelle?
The exemption?
Yes.
If I had to guess, probably not till 2026, just because the law goes into place in 2027. So I would imagine probably early 2026. I could be wrong. They could actually get it done sooner. But right now they're working to try to change some legislation and get some things reworked. And this is the big legislative session. So I'd imagine after this session comes out and we know a little bit more of priorities and any changes, they'll then start working on trying to figure out how do we help some of these jurisdictions that are just going to be unable to follow that law.
So here's my concern. PASCO's going to, if PASCO doesn't get an exemption for some reason, if you say no exemptions and you don't, or you don't even issue the exemption till 2026, and then it doesn't go through, we cannot site and build. Nobody can site and build and do a composting facility that takes food waste in a year. I mean, you're seeing the sequence, and yes, we could ship it up to Spokane, except if this quarantine with Japanese beetles takes place, we can't ship it out of the county.
Well, they don't want it. Project doesn't want it. Stop from here.
And Biotech doesn't want it. So, I mean, all I'm saying is,
not to speak on their behalf.
It's just the timelines. This is really putting a lot of people in some really tentative territory, because we may be legally required to do something we can't physically accomplish.
And what we've, because, you know, it's not ecology's rule. This isn't our doing. Definitely is coming from much higher. So we totally understand where some of these issues are, and we are going to try to fight to get some changes. But ultimately, the goal is for organics diversion. That seems to be a very strong goal, at least currently. We'll see if that changes with the new legislatures. But as of now, that's the priority. So I would say anything you can do to try to get yourselves into a good place to be able to offer any type of organics diversion is great. But the reality is you're not going to be able to do it all. And so I wouldn't stress about it too much. Make plans, do your due diligence, do your studies if you can. I'm looking at the sheet right now, and it shows that Kennewick is required and Richland is required, and unincorporated Benton County is required.
Right.
But we don't even collect yard debris.
And this is based on population?
That's correct. So population that exceeds 25,000.
Okay.
And so we talked about getting an exemption, and I think there's some emails back and forth that say, yes, we don't have to do anything today. But yeah, it sounds like the parties that are involved in all of this need to spend some time talking about what's feasible, not feasible, what kind of timelines exist. And we need to work with ecology or state legislature and say, hey, you want something, this is when and how we could get to it, or this is why we can't. And we need to have those conversations. If somebody's going to try, if ecology is going to try and help us get through a state regulation, that's great. We appreciate that. The reality is we may not, unless we can find a qualified consultant that can build us or design us a facility that's going to do organics, we may build a facility that doesn't work in 3 or 4 years.
Now, I believe, wasn't it Richland that's doing the study, the feasibility study, to see what it would take to expand the organics collection?
Yep.
Is that in the works still?
So, yeah, my understanding was the scope, the intent of the project was to figure out how closely they are to the requirement. Are they so close to the requirement that they're going to likely need to move ahead with budgeting for a project? Or are they far enough away from the requirement that they aren't?
Gotcha. Okay.
That's what I understand.
Well, it's capacity, right? They were also looking at, can they, because
doesn't make sense.
We've always been told, oh, we couldn't handle Kennewick's yard debris, so don't, you know. But now they're looking at capacity. I think, I mean, many, many years ago, I worked on two projects, one in Portland Metro and one in Vancouver, Clark County area. And the governments did request for proposals for compost facilities and to encourage the private sector to do it. One, the private sector worked out, the other one it didn't. But if composting and food waste composting was a profitable thing to do, it would already be happening. So somehow it needs to be subsidized by someone to make it happen. So somebody is going to have to set aside some land and encourage private sector or government to get it done to meet the regulations that are coming.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a big conversation that needs to be had. So if it can't be collected and stay near the source, then it's going to be shipped. Somewhere. And what kind of a container and what kind of health concerns are there shipping putrescent organic waste?
Bio.
But yeah. Just, there's a lot to this.
Well, it's the acclimate, quarantine, areas, and then the beetle situation. It's not hard to collect organics.
What do you do with
on
it?
The curbside? That's not the issue. Yeah. Where do we take it?
Yeah, what do you do with it?
Yeah.
And Michelle, honestly, if you give each little jurisdiction, or each separate, I guess Kennewick is not that little, or Richland, but if you give jurisdictions a little bit of money so they all do it separately, I don't think that's as impactful as if you create a regional facility that helps an area, because that will be more cost effective. But
yeah, that goes for all recycling. I wish it all was regional. That's what we need in order to make the system be able to function.
But that's not what I've seen on the website. What I've seen is invitations to cities to ask for $5 million grants. And it's like, all that's going to do is bifurcate all the systems and then they'll all fail. I think.
No, I think the cities need to work together and the counties need to work together. But a city could apply for a grant and say, it's in the best interest of my entire county to be able to site this facility here and give me the money for infrastructure. And then the whole county will be able to benefit from my facility.
If it's run like
I think the grants you're talking about, because we don't have any through ecology right now for infrastructure. Those are all like EPA and stuff.
I think that's a great idea. I think some of the roadblocks you'll run into are you operating it as a regional utility where everybody shares the cost equally, or are you running it as a profit center where our organization owns it and then we're going to make everybody else pay more so our citizens don't have to pay as much? There's a lot of tricky things to be worked out.
Rebecca?
Mm-hmm.
This is Teresa Richardson of the City of Richland, and I remember a while back the City Council approving this study for the food waste. I wrote myself a note to check on the status on that and get back to you. I think that might be helpful in our further discussion of this being a regional location for the other cities and how that would all work out. That'd be helpful.
That'd be great.
Is there anyone else there in the room that's representing the City of Richland?
No, Teresa.
You're
in. Okay, thank you. All right, thank you. Just wanted to make sure I was coordinating.
Do you have my contact info, Teresa?
Is this Rebecca?
Yeah. If you just
yes,
call
I do.
Okay, great.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Well, we're almost at 11. Some of us have to go do interviews. Is there anything else for the good of the order?
Just the next meeting time is January something, right?
Yes. And we're looking for a new chair at that point. So if anybody wants to run for the chair,
so can you send those out to everybody on the
keep that open?
Then it'll probably be, it's still a draft. Because I think we need to add the battery.
I'll just send it out. Yeah.
And I have questions about Tim Plummer.
Okay, and at that meeting, we'll have a draft of communications, what it's going to look like.
That's what she's sending me.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay. And pinpoint?
Is it being recycled? I've read that from the internet that if you ball it up and put it in your can, and your curbside recycling, I think, mixed, it could be.
We don't, at least WM doesn't promote taking it because in the process, it just burns up.
Anyways,
yeah, and a lot of tinfoil has food waste and things on it that we don't want anyway. Now, short answer, tin and aluminum cans are the way to go, not crushed.
Yeah,
okay, really, don't want to crush.
We have optical sorters So they're very intelligent machines that know size and shapes. So if you crush them, the other thing is you crush them, they get stuck in paper and cardboard, and then it becomes a contaminant.
So I don't have my calendar up, but we'll see you all the second Wednesday in January, 10 o'clock, same place. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.